I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll.
Hello, friend, and welcome to the voice of hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. Here we are, just a few days into the new year of 2018. The beginning of a new year always raises some questions in our minds. We wonder what will happen economically, politically, culturally, and spiritually. We wonder how this year will turn out for us. Will it be good? Or not so good? Or will it be downright bad? You know, ever since Jesus was born, there have been questions about who he is. Those questions arose while he was living here on earth, and they still persist today. If you were to choose any 10 people at random and ask them who they think Jesus is, you would find a variety of answers. So I ask you personally, who is this Jesus, and who is he to you?
Blessed be the name of Jesus, our Redeemer dear above, who is making home so happy with the blessing of his love. Blessed be the name
of Jesus,
blessed be the name
forever,
for he blesses o'er and o'er
forever.
Blessed be the name of Jesus, we will love him evermore. He is ever watching o'er us, guiding us along the way, and so lovingly is sharing all the burdens of the day. Blessed be the name
of Jesus,
blessed be the name
forever,
for he blesses o'er and o'er
forever.
Blessed be the name of Jesus, we will love him evermore. He will guide us all to glory if we lean upon his grace. Let us live with him forever in the sunlight of his face. Blessed be the name
of Jesus,
blessed be the name
forever,
for he blesses o'er and o'er
forever.
Blessed be the name of Jesus, we will love him evermore.
Thank you, Voice of Praise. On today's program, we're turning again to the book of Isaiah. Last week, we began a study of the question, who is this Jesus? Our text was Isaiah 9, verses 1 to 7, and we spent our time in one verse, verse 6. We looked at several characteristics that God revealed to Isaiah that help us to answer this question, who is this Jesus? The first characteristics were his humanity. A child is born. His identity, a son is given. His regency, the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his empathy, wonderful counselor. Now, in case you missed that teaching, you can go to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to it. Or you can request an audio or printed copy of the entire teaching. On today's program, we want to examine the remaining characteristics. We'll begin with a bit of review of his empathy. But before we do that, let me read the text, Isaiah 9 and verses 1 to 7. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you, according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle, and garments rolled in blood, will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, let's pray. Heavenly Father, illuminate my heart and the heart of my friend who is listening, so we can perceive and receive the truth you have for us from the prophet Isaiah. Show us clearly who Jesus is, so we may clearly pattern our lives after him. I pray this in his name. Amen. The next characteristic, then, in exploring this question, who is this Jesus, is his empathy. Wonderful Counselor. In this section of our text, the prophet gives several names to this child who is to be born. And the first is Wonderful Counselor. The Theological Word Book of the Old Testament has this to say about the word wonderful as it's used in our text, and I'm quoting. Most commonly, the word wonderful refers to the acts of God, designating either cosmic wonders or historical achievements on behalf of Israel. It refers to things that are unusual, things that are beyond human capabilities, a miracle so abnormal as to be unexplainable, except as showing God's care or retribution. That's the end of the quote. So we might therefore call Jesus the Miraculous Counselor. Now every counselor needs to have a source of counsel, a reservoir of wisdom to draw from when he or she counsels other people. So what wellspring of wisdom and experience does the Wonderful Counselor draw from? Well, first, he draws from his omniscience as God the Son. He knows everything. But he also draws from his intimate knowledge of having walked this earth in a human body. He knows what you're going through because he's already experienced it. Physical pain? He's been there. Social injustice? He's been there too. Rejection and ridicule? He's familiar with that. What about false accusations? Same story. And yet, unlike human counselors, Jesus' counsel is always right. As the Son of God and the Son of Man, he is uniquely qualified and equipped to be our Wonderful Counselor. The next characteristic is his sovereignty, Mighty God. In Jesus, according to Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. This verse and many others like it clearly reveal the oneness that exists between God and Jesus. In his own testimony, Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." It doesn't get any clearer than that. And then Paul, writing in Colossians chapter 1, reminds us that, "For by him," that's by Jesus, "were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Now, if I create something, I have the rights of ownership. Since nothing exists that wasn't created by Jesus, he has the divine right of ownership and control. Every other power in heaven or on earth is subject to him, and even demonic powers are limited by his authority. You recall that Jesus demonstrated his sovereignty numerous times during his earthly ministry. He calmed a storm on the Sea of Galilee. He healed lepers. He gave sight to the blind. He enabled the dumb to speak. He healed the cripples. He cast out demons. And he even raised the dead to life. There was no situation that was beyond the realm and power of his control. And he reminded Pilate that Pilate could exercise no more power than what was permitted by God. He informed his disciples that he could have called 12 legions of angels to deliver him from suffering and death. But he didn't do that. He chose to submit to the will of his Father. And because of his obedience, God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's Philippians 2, 9 and 10. Notice the multiple use of the word every in those verses. His name is above every name. There's none that can match it. Every knee will ultimately bow in recognition of his sovereignty, either now or later. Every tongue, willing or unwilling, will sooner or later confess that he is master. There will be no exceptions, my friend. What a privilege God gives to all who receive his Son, the mighty God. John reminds us that as many as believed on him, to them he gave the right to become the sons of God. And the resources of that mighty God are available to you and me. The next characteristic is his eternality. He is the everlasting Father. Now, this particular characteristic is extremely difficult for us to grasp. All of our knowledge is directly related to time. About all we can say about eternity is that it's endless. But by using the word endless, we've introduced a time-space concept. You see, the word end proposes the idea of measurement. There cannot be only one end. If one end exists, there has to be another end somewhere else. So it's impossible to define eternity in a simple way that satisfies our intellect. But you know, our difficulty in understanding the concept doesn't need to take away from its reality. And here I quote my mentor and the founder of Heralds of Hope, Dr. J. Otis Yoder. He wrote, "Our basic difficulty lies in the fact that eternal is outside of our existence, bound as we are by time and our mortality. Once we are released from our mortality, we will experience the reality of the eternal. Therefore, within our present frame of time, the best we can do is to accept the concept of eternal by faith." And that's the end of the quote. The Apostle John highlights the eternality of Christ in the opening verses of his gospel. He writes, "In the beginning." But those words do not refer to the beginning of Christ, but rather the beginning of time, marked by the creation of our material universe. You see, in the beginning, the Word was, that is, he pre-existed. John is declaring the eternal pre-existence of Christ, the Word. And he further states that Christ was with God, and in reality, he was God. The second idea contained in this name is Father, everlasting Father. Now, I don't know what images the word Father evokes in your mind. Some of that depends on your personal experiences with your own earthly father. Sadly, there are many young people today who are growing up in single-parent households headed by a mother, and they have no concept of fatherhood. We as fathers have a tremendous responsibility to model for our children the character of the Heavenly Father, even in spite of our imperfections. In my own experience, the word Father immediately awakens certain memories of my childhood, memories of my dad kneeling in prayer each day, memories of him playing softball with us in the farm pasture memories of how hard he worked to provide for our needs, and memories of how, at least twice, he rescued me from almost certain death. And although he needed to discipline me numerous times, there's only one time that I can actually recall the circumstances of that discipline. My experiences gave me a concept of the fatherhood of God that included things like authority, responsibility, love, security, discipline, provision, commitment, and acceptance. Someday, unless Christ returns first, my dad is going to leave this world, and I will miss him. But I have the wonderful consolation of Jesus as my everlasting Father, one who can never be taken away from me. And even if you didn't have an earthly father that was worthy of emulation, you can have an everlasting Father who will love you and care for you. His name is Jesus. He will never fail you or disappoint you or walk out of your life. He's faithful and true and steadfast. The final characteristic then in this text, as we answer the question, who is this Jesus, is his tranquility. The Prince of Peace. It seems to me this name is purposely reserved until the end of the list. It's the crowning characteristic of all the others. Prince of Peace. What do you picture in your mind as you repeat those words? Prince of Peace. I think of royalty. A prince is next in line for the throne. And yet, prince can also mean the head person, or one who's at the top of his profession, like Charles Spurgeon was referred to as the Prince of Preachers. And then there's the word peace. As you probably know, the Hebrew word is shalom. It's a word rich and full with meaning. It speaks of things like provision and safety, happiness and health, favor, and more. And Jesus is certainly the provider of all of those things. But when I think of peace in the context of Jesus' ministry, I think of the peace of mind and spirit that comes from knowing that my sins are forgiven, knowing that there's nothing in my life that hinders fellowship with Him or with others. And I recall my own childhood and the early prompting of the Holy Spirit to abandon my sinful ways and surrender my will to Jesus. I remember my struggle with a load of guilt. I wanted relief, but I also wanted to be able to run my own life and make my own decisions. I well remember the tremendous peace that flooded over me when I finally surrendered my will to His will. And you know, that's not the last time I've experienced that peace. Because as a follower of Christ, I can always tell when I've sinned and missed the mark. I lose the peace of knowing I'm in His will and favor. It doesn't mean He doesn't love me. It's just that the relationship is hindered by my disobedience. Many times, when that happens, I humble myself immediately. I repent of my sin. I claim the forgiveness Jesus offers, and that peace is restored. But other times, to my shame, I've resisted the conviction. I've ignored the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and I've carried the guilt for days and weeks, sometimes even months. But oh, the relief that comes when I finally humble myself and find cleansing and forgiveness and peace. The world you and I live in is filled with turmoil. As we begin the year 2018, there are many tensions in our world, many things on the horizon that could turn out to be not very good in this new year. But what a glorious reality to have the assurance of peace, regardless of our circumstances. Just before Jesus went to the cross, He spoke about this peace to His disciples. In John 14:27, He said, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Praise God, my friend. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, provides for us the kind of peace that goes far beyond anything the world can give. Because to the world, peace is simply the absence of strife. But the peace that Jesus gives is a peace that surpasses our human intellect. The peace Jesus offers is not dependent on our circumstances. No, it's so much more than that. It's the settled assurance that God is in control of my life, and He's working out His plan through my circumstances. And because of that, I can be at peace. I can rest in the assurance that what He's doing in my life will eventually bring to me a better understanding of what peace really is. So then, who is this Jesus? He is God incarnate, in human flesh, whose kingdom exists in the hearts of all who receive Him by faith. He is the wonderful Counselor, who can fully empathize with you and me in our struggles, because He was tempted in every way, just like we are. He is also the mighty God, the one who controls all things by the word of His power, and the one who limits all other powers. He is the everlasting Father, existing in eternity past and on into eternity future. He is a Father who will never leave or forsake His children. And He is the Prince of Peace, the one who will ultimately usher in a worldwide peace that will restore the creation to its original state, where mankind and animals will live in peaceful coexistence. But that will only happen after God has punished the rebellious, the unbelieving, and the wicked during the Great Tribulation. My friend, you can be a part of Jesus' reign of peace now and in the future time. But you must prepare today. You must acknowledge Jesus as God's Son now. You must voluntarily bow before Him in surrender and worship now. Because if you refuse, someday you will be forced to do it against your will. But then it will be too late. Instead of an eternity of peace and tranquility, you will have an eternity of torment and regret. I have shown you today, from the Scripture, the answer to the question, who is this Jesus? Now I urge you to receive the Son of God as your Savior today.
Jesus, the mighty Lord, great is Thy name, still through eternal years Thou art the same. Changeless Thy holy word true evermore.
Thank you, Altar of Praise Chorale. Yes, my friend, Jesus is the mighty Lord. But I must ask you, is He your Savior and Lord? Do you know Him personally? Now, perhaps you'd like an audio copy of the teaching you heard today. One of the benefits you would receive by having an audio copy is this. First, you'd have the complete message on one CD, the teaching you heard today, and the concluding part next week will be on one CD titled, Who is This Jesus? And all you need to do is ask for it. You can also have a copy of this teaching in print. The easiest way for you to contact us is by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or you can mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. You can also log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and then you can listen to the program whenever it's convenient for you. We also encourage you to visit our Facebook page, where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony from a listener. And it's also an easy way for you to send a message to us. We'd love to hear from you. Once again, you can contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292, during our business hours. Truly, it's God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, that will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I hope you'll join me next week for the Voice of Hope. And until we meet again,
walk with me. Walk with me, lest mine eyes no longer see all the glory, all the story of your love. Talk to me, like you spoke so tenderly when you talk there. Talk with me, lest mine ears no longer hear all the wonder, all the beauty of your grace. Walk with me, as you walk so lovingly, when you walk there, when you talk there by the sea. Let me follow in the footsteps that trod the shore of Galilee. Let me learn.